This is Ronald Coleman inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Mark Twain was a man with a great zest for life. "When I'm playful," he said, "I use the meridians of longitude and the parallels of latitude for a hook and drag the Atlantic Ocean for whales. I scratch my head with the lightning and purr myself to sleep with the thunder." Born Samuel Clemens, he took his pen name from the ancient cries Mark I, Mark Twain, which were measures of navigation used on the old Mississippi riverboat. He swore the name would remain what it had always represented, a sign and symbol of the petrified truth. This is the favorite story of my friend Dennis Day, and it's a pleasure to bring you Mark Twain's The Man Who Corrupted Hadleyburg.
You did it. Don't look the other way. I'm talking to you, mister. You probably don't even remember it, but you kicked me as if I were a dog. I want you to know, I don't forget easily, and I'll get my revenge. Lots of things heal. You get a wound, and it scabs and heals and goes away. But the memory of hunger sticks. I was hungry the day I drifted into that fine, honest town of Hadleyburg. But none of your fine, honest citizens would offer me to heal from a loaf of bread. Why? You don't like bums in Hadleyburg. Get out of town. This is an honest place, incorruptible. Yeah. It's easy enough to be honest when there are no temptations around. Your big city seal on that courthouse, that's a laugh. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation. Hey, that's how I'll get my revenge. I'll tempt them. Not just one or a dozen, the whole town. The whole fine, honest town of Hadleyburg. I'll corrupt them. This is Hadleyburg. 10 at night. Nice town, isn't it? Clean, self-sufficient, and righteous. Kind to dumb animals. Incorruptible. You see that sack in the back seat of this carriage? What do you suppose is in it? 160 pounds, 4 ounces of revenge. But gentle revenge, mister, with all the machinery attached. Contains a noose custom-built to fit the neck of each solid citizen. I don't have to do a thing. Just sit back and watch each solid citizen hang himself. Whoa, Bessie. Here's our first stop.
Quiet, isn't it? And peaceful. You know whose house this is? Edward Richards, the old cashier at the bank. This man is so honest it hurts. If you drop a penny at his window at the bank, he'd run 3 blocks to give it back to you. Well, this is where we begin. Let's see what happens when temptation rears its ugly head.
Come on, temptation.
Yes? Come in.
Do I have the pleasure of addressing Mrs. Richards, Mrs. Edward Richards?
Yes.
Is Mr. Richards at home?
He's upstairs. I'll call him.
No, don't let me disturb you. I merely wish to place this sack in a safe place.
Sack?
Yeah. Would you ask your husband to keep this in his care until the rightful owner is found?
But who shall I say that?
I'm a stranger in town. He doesn't know me. I'm merely passing through here to take care of this business. Now it's finished, you'll never see me again.
I'd really better call Edward. In matters like these, how will he know?
Please, it's not necessary. There's a note attached to the sack which will explain everything.
But I...
Good night, Mrs. Richards.
Well, I never... A note? To be published or the right man sought out by private inquiry, either method will do. This sack contains gold coin weighing 160 pounds, 4 ounces. Edward, lock the doors. Pull down the window shades.
Why, Mary, what's the matter?
Oh, the strangest thing just happened. Please lock the door.
Mary, you're trembling. What happened?
Lock the door.
Oh, very well, dear. Yeah.
Look at that sack.
Oh, what's in it?
Gold. 160 pounds, 4 ounces.
What? How did it get here?
There's a note with a glistening. I am a foreigner about to return to my own country to remain there permanently. Before I leave, I must repay a debt of kindness from a citizen of Hadleyburg done me a year or two ago.
Let me see that. I was a gambler. I arrived in Hadleyburg at night, hungry and without a penny. I asked for help in the dark. I was ashamed to beg in the light. I begged of the right man. He gave me $20. That is to say, he gave me life. He also gave me fortune, for I took that $20 and gambled myself rich.
Oh, good heavens.
That man also made a remark to me that has changed the course of my life. Now I have no idea who that man was, and I want him to have this money.
What do you suppose he said? Who do you suppose it was?
Oh, Mary, please, just a minute. There's more. The plan is this. Publish this letter in the local newspaper, and 30 days from now, 8 o'clock, Friday evening, let the candidate appear at the town hall and hand his remark in a sealed envelope to the Reverend Mr. Burgess, if he will be kind enough to act. Then let Reverend Burgess destroy the seals of the sack, open it. There's a sealed envelope containing the correct remark. If it tallies, let the money be delivered with my gratitude to my benefactor. Now, that's it.
Oh, what a strange thing, and what a fortune for that kind man who cast his bread upon the wash.
160 pounds. Why, Mary, that's about $40,000. It's a fortune.
What are you going to do with it?
Just what it says to do. Or we could just take it and stuff it in the mattress and burn the letter, eh?
Oh, Edward, please don't joke. It hasn't been fun being poor all our lives.
Do you say that, Mary, because deep in your heart you wish the gold were ours? That I were the man who said the kind words to this gambler? As I do, do you really want to burn this letter? Not joking, but really burn it?
Edward, take this letter to the newspaper quickly, now, right now. Lead us not into temptation.
Of course we'll publish it, Richards. It's an exciting thing. Great thing for the paper. Great thing for Hadleyburg.
Yes, I thought you'd see it that way.
Think of what a noise it'll make. Every other town on the map will be jealous. No stranger would trust such a thing to any other town but Hadleyburg. We're honest here.
Yes, Mr. Cox. We're honest.
I'll get this into type this very minute. Make the morning paper. Make every wire service in the country, too. Mark my words. Where is the money now? Maybe we'll need some pictures of the sack. AP might want pictures.
It's at my place. I'll move it to the bank in the morning.
Think it's safe, Richards? Wouldn't want anybody to steal it.
In Hadleyburg, Mr. Cox?
Well, you never know when another bum might pass through, like this gambler chap. Hungry. Hungry man will do anything.
Yes.
Say, I wonder why this gambler ever named Reverend Burgess to handle the ceremony. I guess he doesn't know about the scandal Burgess got into a few years back.
Or maybe he does know. Maybe he knows Burgess was innocent.
Oh, yes, Richards. I remember now. You defended Burgess then, didn't you? Foolish. You'd always be sticking up for the underdog, Richards. You'd be a rich man today if you weren't always so blame foolish.
Rich?
Say, you're at the bank. How much do you roughly estimate this sack of gold is worth in good American dollars?
About 40,000.
40,000? Oh, that's incredible.
It's a lot of money.
Well, sit down a minute. Close the door and sit down. Who knows about this except you and me? And this gambler who left the sack?
My wife.
What would happen if I didn't publish it? If you and I... Well, Richards, don't look at me like that.
And you're the editor of the Hadleyburg paper? Oh, well, we've been trained since the cradle to do the honest thing at all times.
I know all about it. You don't have to tell me.
I never had shade or shadow of a doubt of my honesty until now. And now, under the very first big and real temptation, I... Cox, it's my belief that this town's honesty is as rotten as mine is, as rotten as yours is.
What?
Oh, it's a mean town, a hard, stingy town, and hasn't a virtue in the world but this honesty it's so celebrated for and so conceited about. And let me tell you, Cox, that if a day comes when its honesty falls under great temptation, its grand reputation will go to ruin like a house of cards. There now, I've made my confession and I feel better. Let no man call me honest again.
Richards, I don't think you're a true citizen of Hadleyburg. I'll publish the letter.
Well, the AP picked up the story all right. And by breakfast time the next morning, the name of Hadleyburg the Incorruptible was on every lip in America. Hadleyburg itself woke up world-celebrated, astonished, happy, and vain. Vain beyond imagination. Its 19 principal citizens and their wives went about shaking hands and beaming and congratulating themselves. But, mister, this was only the beginning. Only the cheese sat adroitly in the trap. And the minute all the mice troop in and all the rats to nibble at the cheese, the trap will be sprung. Hadleyburg, the incorruptible, will be corrupted.
We're bringing you the favorite story of Dennis Day, The Man Who Corrupted Hadleyburg by Mark Twain. And it features Frank Lovejoy in the leading role. Mark Twain called it a tale of magnificent irony. So, Maestro Sweeten, the downbeat, please, for music ironic and magnificent. Act Two.
The plan was working. I didn't have to be in every bedroom of Hadleyburg to know what made each solid citizen toss and turn.
What was the remark? If I could only think of the remark.
If we could guess. If we could only guess that a sack of gold would belong to us, we'd be rich.
If he had come to me, what would I have said to him? Think, think.
Toss, squirm. That's it. Suffer a little.
What was it? What was it? What was it?
Step number two, a letter. Addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Edward Richards, Hadleyburg.
Edward, look, a letter addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Edward Richards, Hadleyburg.
Open it.
My dear Mr. and Mrs. Richards, I am a stranger to you, but no matter. I know who made the remark. It was Barclay Goodson, who's dead and has no heirs. I was standing near him the night he made it and heard exactly what he said. Now, I happen to know that the only man in town who ever did Goodson a service was you, Richard.
What?
And Goodson told me so. So the sack of gold rightfully belongs to you.
Yeah.
This is the remark. You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform. Signed, a friend.
So that was the remark.
How modest you are, Edward. You never told me the great service you did for Goodson. Oh, it was fine and beautiful of you never to mention
well,
it.
Well, Mary,
But you ought to have told me, Edward. You ought to have told your wife.
Well, you see, Mary, I couldn't.
Why couldn't you?
Well, he made me promise I wouldn't.
Aha, the first lie. Now, Richards, toss and turn and try to think of what you did for Goodson, huh? $40,000 is a lot of money. And you know the remark now, and Goodson has no heirs. But what was it you did? What good service? You can't remember.
I can't remember.
Oh, I forgot to mention. At the exact moment when Mr. Edward Richards received that letter, 18 other fine, upstanding citizens of Hadleyburg received the exact same letter. All night long, 18 principal citizens did what their brother Richards was doing. They put in their energies trying to remember what great service they had done for Barclay Goodson. And let me tell you, that wasn't an easy job. And while they were at this work, which was tough, their wives put in the night spending the money, which was easy. During the night, the 19 wives spent an average of $7,000 each out of the $40,000 in the sack, totaling $133,000 altogether. The next day, the Reverend Burgess, who doubted if there would be one claimant, was the most surprised man in town. For he suddenly and quite secretly received 19 sealed envelopes. And he had all 19 envelopes tucked away in his pocket when the Great Friday came at last. The town hall had never looked more splashing. Flags, bunting, the works. The gold sack stood on a table in front of the podium. Everybody looked at it with a mouth-watering interest. 19 couples gazed at it tenderly, lovingly, each with a proprietary interest. And the husbands kept saying over to themselves the little impromptu moving speech in answer to the audience's cheers and congratulations. Then Reverend Burgess got up.
Citizens of Hadleyburg, our town has an old and well-earned reputation for honesty. And now a grateful stranger has left us a sack of gold. And the fame of Hadleyburg's good name has spread throughout the world. And now, my friends, I shall take an envelope out of my pocket and read its contents. I read. The remark which I made to the distressed stranger was this. You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform. Mr. Bilson.
The house was ready to burst into applause, but instead it was stricken with paralysis. Because in one part of the hall, Deacon Bilson was standing up with his head meekly bowed, and in another part of it, Lawyer Wilson was doing the same.
Why do you rise, Mr. Wilson?
Because I have a right to. Perhaps you will be good enough to explain to the house why you rise.
Of course! Because I wrote that paper.
You're a dirty liar. I wrote it myself.
Gentlemen.
I asked the chair to read the name signed to that paper.
Yes, of course. John Wharton Bilson.
There. What have you got to say for yourself now?
Well,
Wilson, I demand an apology.
No apologies are due. Bilson, I publicly charge you with pilfering my note from Mr. Burgess substituting a copy of it signed with your own name. There's no other way you could have gotten hold of that test remark. I alone of living men possess the secret of its wording.
Gentlemen, please. Gentlemen, there's obviously been a mistake somewhere, but surely that is all. If Mr. Wilson gave me an envelope, and I remember now that he did, I still have it.
Oh,
yes. The remark I made to the unhappy stranger was this. You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.
Well, what can this mean?
And this one is signed Thurlow G. Wilson.
Well, there.
I reckon that settles it. I told you my note was stolen.
Are you sure to
me? No, I will.
I'll sue you for defamation. Gentlemen,
order. Take your seats, both of you, please.
Open the sack.
Yeah, maybe neither remark is correct.
Very well, ladies and gentlemen. Let us see if these remarks tally with what is in the stranger's sack. With your permission, I shall open it.
Ah, now.
I find two envelopes here. One is marked, not to be opened until all written communications which have been addressed to the chair have been read. The other is marked, the test. I shall open the test first, then. I quote, "You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform."
They're both right. Split it between Wilson and Bilson.
Order, gentlemen. Gentlemen, order, please, please. Let me finish reading. Go and reform, or mark my words, someday for your sins, you will die and go to Hades or Hadleyburg. Try and make it the former.
It was at that point that one woman in the audience began to see the irony of it, and she began to laugh. It wasn't quite a humorous laugh, but it was infectious, and it began to catch like fire spray.
Just a minute, my friends! Just a minute, please! Citizens! citizens of Hadleyburg, this is not a laughing matter. We have further business to attend to.
Why, Reverend, have we found two symbols of incorruptibility, Wilson and Bilton?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have more communications in my pocket.
More? Read them, Reverend. Read them.
Very well, my friend. The remark I made to the stranger was, "You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform."
Oh, saw my leg off.
Signed, L.J. Pinkerton, the bank president.
Three symbols of incorruptibility.
And still another. "You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform." Signed, Joseph Sargent, councilman.
Keep reading, fish in your pocket again.
Very well. "You are far from being a bad man.
Go and reform."
Five symbols, keep reading.
How many you got, Reverend?
19 envelopes altogether.
19.
Well, they kept going that way through 18 envelopes. Several of the 19 got up to try to leave, but the crowd shoved them back in their seats. Old Edward Richards and his wife sat there trembling, waiting for their envelope to open, knowing the shame that was going to come to them. But the Reverend paused when he'd finished reading the 18th envelope.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I find that I do not have 19 envelopes as I had thought. Only 18.
Ain't 18 them crooks enough in the most honest town in the United States, Reverend?
18, yes, sir. 18 symbols of incorruptibility.
Who gets the sack?
I say, give it to Richard. Old Edward Richard. He seems to be the only honest man in town.
My friends, one moment, please. Please. There seems to be nobody in our assembly who has quoted the exact remark. And since the chair has read all the communications, it is time to read the second envelope the stranger has deposited in this sack.
Read it, Reverend.
Very well. "Citizens of Hadleyburg, there is no test remark. Nobody made one. There wasn't any $20 contribution or any wise benediction. I made them all up. I passed through your town once and received an injury I have not forgotten. I wanted to damage every one of you in your vanity. And when I realized how carefully you kept yourselves out of temptation, I knew what to do. The weakest of all weak things is a virtue which has not been tested. And so I decided to tempt you. I think I shall make liars and thieves out of every leading citizen of your town.
Wow, that's...
Now, open the sack. My friends, they are only gilded discs of lead.
My friend, what do you want, Richard?
Edward, sit down.
My friend, listen to me. Reverend Burgess, in the goodness of his heart, has made a liar out of himself as well, in order to protect me from being a thief. I helped him once, when no one else in this horrible town would come to his defense. And now he's paying me back by hiding in his pocket a 19th lying, cheating envelope. Mine, my friends, mine.
Edward, we are all to blame.
A big joke. Stop laughing.
My friends, be quiet.
Mary is right. It's not a laughing matter. And we're all to blame. And so, let us rip down our city seal, which reads, "Lead us not into temptation." We need a new motto.
Yes, my friend. A new motto. Deliver us from evil.
I'm told that by act of the state legislature, upon prayer and petition, Hadleyburg was allowed to change its name to... Well, never mind. We won't give it away. It's an honest town once more, and the man will have to rise early that catches it napping again. Our thanks to all the members of the cast, to Lawrence and Lee, who dramatized and directed, and to Dennis Day, who named Mark Twain's The Man Who Corrupted Hadleyburg as his favorite story. Next week, two murderers flee as far as possible from the scene of their crime, but they bring themselves to justice in an unexpected way. It's a story of fear and suspense. Pacific Crossing, the favorite story of the famous conductor, Mr. Paul Whiteman. And when we dramatize it for you next week at this time, we hope you'll be listening.